Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Likely to squirt if your body is full of fluids, just because you actually have the fluids to do so. So stay hydrated, ladies that want to squirt. Also, like, right, perfect timing.
I got plans.
What are you trying to
do?
I
got big plans tonight. I'm applying this knowledge immediately.
Welcome to Honey Do Me, a podcast that goes into the bedroom and beyond. Hosted by Emma Norman
and Cass Anderson.
Here at Honey Do Me, we don't have all the answers, so we chat with experts, educators, and badass changemakers to get them.
We are here to remind our listeners and ourselves that what we're going through is normal, that we are worthy of love and pleasure,
and that we are all in this together. So tell us, honey, how do you do you?
Splish splash, I'm taking a bath.
Only
on a Wednesday afternoon.
That's
yeah. The song.
Okay, splish splash. We're taking a bath today, honeys. Not really. That's for a later episode.
That's for later.
But what we are doing is we're talking about squirting.
Squirting or splashing.
Splashing if you're a little
however
uncomfortable.
You feel, because that's also a word that is circling the web.
Yeah, I've seen it on the web a few times.
I've seen it on the web.
If you are uncomfortable with the word squirting, honey, we get it.
Yeah.
Because us too, a little bit. Not anymore.
Not TBH, so much right now.
But going into this,
yeah,
squirting was not our most comfy topic.
I would not say it was, no. But with the help of
Shay Alexander.
It sounds like a royal name.
She is royalty. Yeah. Honestly, she was absolutely amazing. So Shay is a sex educator and true expert on the elusive juices. I thought of that earlier and I had to share it.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. It was such a great conversation to understand what squirting is.
Yes. Break down some of those stigmas.
Stigmas,
those barriers.
The shame. Because I carried those into the episode for us. Uh-huh. So if you have them too, don't worry. I brought them. And there's a part where I get very judgy. And I'm sorry. But I feel like that's where a lot of us kind of can stand with this subject.
Yes.
And it's good to address that head on and be like, wow, I sounded really judgy. Why? And look at that.
Yeah, but you were being honest. That's actually how you feel.
Yeah.
I think it's important because then you were able to work through it and now we're coming out the other end
squirting
everywhere.
Ow.
TBH, we have yet to squirt ourselves.
No.
No. We haven't checked in.
Nope. We haven't touched base, but no.
I haven't. I will say I'm a lot more comfortable with the subject.
Yeah.
We talk about how to squirt solo or with a partner, the best positions, how to clean up, all the good stuff. So
all the stuff that you are worried about.
Yes.
And I'm
every
worried about.
Worry that you have, chances are one of us has it as well.
Yes.
Or both.
And
is even more likely.
If it has any pee-pee.
Yes. Talk a lot about pee-pee.
Pee-pee. I don't want to spoil everything. You go listen. Go do it.
We'll see you on the other side, honey.
Hello, everybody. My name is Shay, also known as Shay is Love. I am a sex educator, and I'm also the one half of the Pleasure Hour, which is hosted on Clubhouse every Wednesday at 7 Pacific Standard Time. And in that space, we talk about everything sex, love, pleasure, especially sexual health. We have to always sprinkle some of that in there because people do get really excited about sex, but we like to also educate while we're in the space. So, and I'm really happy to be here. I noticed that squirting since that room, it's been it just ran rapid the whole week. Everyone I know was doing squirting content and everyone wanted to talk to me about it. And I was just people really love to talk about squirting. And I love it because I actually haven't had a chance to talk about it as much as I've wanted to. So to find people that are actually interested, I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do this.
Yay. We're so excited to have you here. We like thought of squirting as a topic randomly one day. We're like, we just got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of uncomfortable saying the word squirting. Freaks me out.
We've said it like 80 times over the past few days. Yeah, so it's so gotten a lot more comfortable.
Freaking ready. And your Clubhouse meeting was so interesting. Like, we loved listening in on that.
It was phenomenal.
And hearing people say squirting so casually. It was just great.
Yeah, I feel like in our experience, we haven't heard squirting talked about in like a very like casual, normal capacity. It's always like this like, oh my God, kind of crazy thing, or like this almost like stigmatized thing. I don't know. It just feels like this super sexual thing. So when we're not even comfortable with like the basics of sex, to go even deeper and then incorporate like body fluids and all of that, it just feels like this whole other level. So I am so excited we're talking about it today.
Yeah.
Definitely. And for people who might also be uncomfortable, like with the term squirting, one of the women who comes into the space, and she's extremely amazing, is Michelle, and she's a sexologist, and she actually uses the word splash.
Ooh,
I like that.
Yeah. This is zesty. So for anyone who maybe like is not the most comfortable with the word squirting, you can like substitute it for splash. I thought it was kind of cute. So
that's super cute.
It really goes with that idea of splash zone too.
I was just gonna say, get out of my
splash zone,
or get in my splash,
or step into my splash zone.
Giving people options. It's all about consent.
Yeah,
it's all about consent. I love
to splash or not to splash.
Yeah. I love that. That's so cute. Okay, I'm so excited and ready. So I feel like we should start with, what is squirting? We wrote, what is the squirt? What exactly is it?
So squirting is the release of bodily fluids once a woman reaches a certain sexual peak. It is different from an orgasm. It is also different than ejaculation, because that release of fluid is what some people would compare to urine, but it's not. So it's similar to ejaculation in that it's a release of body fluids, but it's not the same thing.
And it's not urine, you're saying?
No, it's not. It does contain some traces of urine in it. And there's been studies that show that some women, their squirt does have higher concentrations of urine, and while others have less.
Okay. And that's because of like, where is it coming out of exactly?
So it comes from a different place, and I wish I had a little vagina mold. Yeah. I really need one. They're really hard. They're a lot harder to come by than like most people think.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it is released from a different tract. That's what it is. Okay. But again, it's still bodily fluids, so it's still a release of fluids from the body, from the vagina. So
okay. So does it come out of the urethra then? Like, it comes from the same place that you would pee, which is makes sense why there would be urine in it.
Yeah, it does come from the urethra, but the tract is just different.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We have so many different tracks and roads and maps going on inside of us. I feel like literally every time I talk to a different expert, we're like learning more and more about what's inside of our bodies, which makes sense. But it's also like, why don't I know what's happening when some of this is like so natural? Like, squirting can be so natural, but why don't I know where it's coming from?
Well, a part of the reason why, for like women and men both, why we don't know so much about sex is because it's studied in a very particular way, and the information is given to us in a very particular way. So last week I took a course on erectile dysfunction, and it was really interesting to see how, even from that perspective, you still bring women into the conversation, because we kind of have to as educators. And what we found was that men are studied medically when it comes to sex, and women are studied psychologically. So everything's always connected to like how we feel, but from a mental level, but no one's ever going like, how does she feel down there? Why does she feel like, you know, why does she feel that way down there? Yeah. And it's interesting. I had a doctor come into one of our rooms and she shared with us that for some women, the G-spot does move. So even when talking about something like squirting, you know, you might have this area that you're like, oh, I know if, you know, he goes there or if she goes there, you know, or if I go there, I'll have this squirting experience. But we also have to recognize that for some women, the G-spot will shift a little, whether it's, you know, that blood flow making it a little more puffy down there, so it's moving to the front, or it's a little more relaxed, so it's moved to the back. So, you know, it's a lot. We have a lot going on down there, but it's really beautiful to study.
That is so interesting. And that just like, I don't know, I feel like my mind is like lighting up because I've never really thought about how we do study women in a psychological, emotional way. And it's like, everything is about like how we feel, but it's like, also I'm like a body, you know what I mean? I'm not just a mind.
Right.
So thinking about how I feel like whenever I have pain or something isn't right, I'm like, well, what is stressing me out? Like what is making me uncomfortable psychologically? And not like, hey, maybe something's actually going on with my body that I need to check in with.
Yeah. So,
like, fuck.
I know. So emotionally and mentally, I can totally see that in some ways, because that's very valid when it comes to like how I get turned on and maybe how others could get turned on, whatever. But that's so true. It's like we also have physical shit that goes on that has nothing to do with what I'm thinking about. And I want to know about that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's important for, like, as we talk about it more and as people become more comfortable with these conversations, for them to know too, like, don't just place sexuality for women under the umbrella of women are so emotional and that's why. And it's or she's just horny because her body is just telling her that she wants to squirt. One of the questions that was posed in the room, and I was like, oh, I so want to like repeat like a part of that conversation. There was a gentleman and I was so happy he asked the question. When we get men in our spaces, it's really beautiful because they do come in like respectfully, or they're trying to learn, and they're always like, the vagina, you know, squirting, like orgasms. They're always like really inquisitive. And someone asked, he said, so for women, when it comes to squirting, is it a psychological thing or is it a physical thing? And I was so happy to hear women who are not only professionals in the field, but obviously, you know, vulva owners, share their experiences and say it's 100% both, you know, and it doesn't have to be at the same time. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, but for a lot of women, you can have both the desire to be physically stimulated and mentally stimulated in a sexual experience, but sometimes one can exist without the other.
That's just so cool. I that's so interesting because I literally know nothing about squirting because it was just something that I had seen or heard of only in porn and only existing in this very like theatrical way instead of just being like a normal function. So when people would talk about it as normal humans, I'd be like, so what did you do to get that there? Like, why did you have to do that party trick to like have sex? But it's, I just, it's so cool to learn so much more about it and that it can be mental and physical. It's just so many things.
Yeah. I mean, and you said it too, you mentioned porn. Unfortunately in porn, a lot of squirt scenes are not real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not real. They'll do it for theatrics. They'll do it for effects. They do it because that's what people want to see, right? Like, they're like, we're getting paid to, you know, shoot these splash scenes, if you will. And we got to get this woman to do it. But what if she's not a squirter? But what if that's the one category she just hasn't done? And this is the one category that we know if we get her to do this, like, we're gonna make a ton of money off of. And it's unfortunate because now it's creating this unrealistic expectation on what it looks like to get there, which is different for every woman, but it definitely doesn't look like porn. Like, you're not getting there in 30 seconds. You know what I mean? But I will say that It is, you said party trick. And I was like, you know, I'm kind of glad you said it like that because it should be a normal thing. It shouldn't be like, oh my God, like, what'd you do to get there? And why? I mean, yes, explore the curiosity. It's beautiful. But I will say, just to kind of take the pressure off for a lot of people, that that's not the peak of pleasure for everyone. you know, women can orgasm, my studies as of now says 14 different ways, you know, and some of them are non-penetrative. So you have nipple orgasms, you have orgasms that can happen in the pelvic area with, again, without penetration. You have clitoral orgasms. So you have these different type of orgasms that don't even require penetration. So, and women enjoy them all. So I'm saying that to say there's no pressure. Like, there's no pressure to be a squirter, because truth be told, even being able to do it, you don't always want to do it. Like, you don't want to take the time to get there. Sometimes you just want to touch and feel and, you know, enjoy those parts of sex. And other times you just don't want to clean up the mess. I'm going to be honest.
yeah.
I love when that came up in the room. I was just like, oh my God, can we talk about how they get messy? But if you do want to make the mess, get the waterproof sheets. They do help.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Get the waterproof sheets. You can get them on Amazon. They definitely help. But, you know, you're not always prepared. Sometimes right. you are, sometimes you're not. And you know, it might be the couch, okay, or the rug that gets messed up. But either way it goes, it's not the peak of pleasure for everyone. So I definitely wouldn't want, you know, men to psych themselves out to, like, you right. know, oh, I gotta do it. And I wouldn't want women to ruin the experience, or either party to ruin the experience of just enjoying your partner, enjoying being touched and pleased and aroused, just because you're so fixated on getting to this particular goal. And who's to say that's your favorite kind of orgasm? You might like mm-hmm. clitoral orgasms a lot better than squirting, because that's pretty common. So mm-hmm. yeah, just no pressure. Yeah. No pressure.
I love that. Like, it's experience oriented versus goal oriented, yeah. which I think we can apply in like every aspect of sex. I have so many clarifying questions that just keep popping up into my head. I'm yeah. like overflowing with them. So my mm-hmm. first one is, can everyone squirt, or is it just some people that can squirt?
So there, a lot of people have their theories. So I don't think this, from what I've researched, I've not been able to give a definite yes or a definite no.
Okay.
Because some people, and this is what I love about like sex therapists, sex educator, people that work professionally in the field, they're like, oh, everyone can do it. They're like, everyone can do it, and we're going to get everyone to do it. And in my mind, I'm like, I think I want to be on that team.
Yeah. That sounds like the fun team. The positive team.
Yeah.
So even though, like, statistically right now, a lot of women, the majority of women who are having sex with cishet partners, mm-hmm. male partners, are not having orgasms. I want to say it's up mm-hmm. to like 60% right now. And it's really unfortunate. But I think that before we get to a point of being like, can all women squirt? It's like, can we just get an orgasm? Like,
yeah.
Darts. But I will say that in my studies, I will make it a point to actually be one of those professionals that sees how many women we can get on the splash train.
I love it. Oh, I love that so much. Happy.
That's really funny.
So it's worth a shot.
It's
for
worth
everyone.
A shot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because if you do it, you're going to enjoy it. And another thing that I would encourage, is solo play. Like, I think that solo play is so, it's fun, for one. If you don't think it's fun, it's okay. Find the things about it that's fun if you're in the early stage of, like, exploration. But I will say, solo play is okay. In solo play, you can experience, you know, splashing from. What you can do, and for everyone it's different, you can do the external toys, so the toys that are more stimulating to the clitoris. Mm-hmm. Or you can do vibrators or dildos, anything along those lines that have like that curve, because it's the curve, it's the hook that really does it for that G-spot and that motion for you to be able to stimulate it enough to get the release of fluid. So, you know, I would say at this point, I mean, how many ladies want to prove that we all can squirt? Because if that's going to be the new study, I think we'd just be in la la land all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, I would be a part of that study.
Team Splash.
Team Splash.
I'm thinking that maybe, you know, I might have to ask a couple Start professionals a if we can all just pull our networks in and,
right,
just, you know.
Oh, that's so cool. So basically what you're saying is, to squirt, you have to stimulate those upper areas towards the G-spot, towards that, like, the other
the area that connects.
Right.
So it's the G-spot area. So, and it doesn't really require much. So like, if you have a partner and you want to do partner play, you would have your partner obviously wash their hands first. I'm
Throw that out there.
Okay. Wash your hands if you are going to touch anyone.
Never. Okay. Yes.
Like, wash hands. So have your partner wash your hands. Make sure, you know, nails are cut down, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to start to create those tears down there, because that can cause bacteria and infections. Mm-hmm. And you want to have them place two fingers so they can take the first and second. We're on Zoom. There mm-hmm. we go. Or we can do these two, and you want to take them, you want to insert them about 2 inches in. Of course, ask your partner, you know, like, is this mm-hmm. is this up enough, is it far back, adjust as needed. And then you're going to do that come here motion.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to do the come here motion, and you can do it towards yourself as well, it'll work. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to like hook and like jab. I was calling it jerk chicken. I was like, it just seems like that will be the name of the move. Like, don't jerk chicken the vagina. Do a nice massaging motion when you do the come here motion. So make it slow. You know, don't apply too much pressure, but apply a little bit pressure, and then adjust as needed. But definitely communicate with your partner. If it doesn't feel good and it's not comfortable, then, you know, just make those adjustments. But, you know, I would encourage ladies to definitely, you know, communicate with your partner on the amount of pressure and on the speed as well.
So should you be looking for, like, I feel like when I've heard the G-spot talked about before, it's been referred to as almost like this little like almond that you can feel. Like, is that something that you should be looking for? Does it not feel like that on everyone? Like, what should you like physically be like feeling?
Mm-hmm. So it'll be like a puffier area. So it's an area that definitely stands out, because once you touch it, you're just like, oh, this is like an extra little pocket of puff. Some descriptions are like a sponge-like, but it doesn't give me sponge-like vibes. I mean, unless we're talking about like gelatin in a makeup brush sponge, you know. Okay. We're not talking about the old school grandma, you know, the ones that our moms wash dishes with, those sponges. It doesn't feel like that to me. Not really spongy, but almost like a little pocket of thick gelatin surrounded by skin, if you will, and moisture.
If that doesn't turn you on, I don't know what would.
So somewhere like the visual came to mind. I was going to say a bubble, but like a balloon, like a water balloon. When you're filling the water balloon, but it's not fully full. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like some water in there, and it, you know, can dangle, kind of looks like a testicle. If it looks like a testicle. So if you can imagine a testicle inside a vagina, kind of like that, which I know is also a very interesting visual, but.
If anyone wants to make drawings and then send them to us of everything we're talking about,
I feel like you're inviting in some interesting content.
Fan art, I hope. Yeah. I would love to see that. That would be fantastic. Oh, my gosh.
And the reason why it's like that, too, is because you do get that rush of blood down there, you know, just like the penis becomes erect and it enlarges when, you know, it's aroused. It's due to that blood flow. So just like our clitorises become larger, our G-spots tend to do that as well.
This is so interesting. I love it. And something like, I would love to know your definition of the G-spot, like from your research and all of that. Like, we've talked to a lot of different experts, and it feels like everybody has like a different perspective on it, which we love. And we love hearing like all of the mm-hmm. I don't even say like opinions is the right word, but like perspective on it. Yes.
Questions. I like that one. I would actually call it a pleasure pocket.
Okay.
And that's the reason why. Yeah. Right. So the reason why is because calling it the G spot makes it seem like that's the only place mm-hmm. to get pleasure. And it's not. And I think that it's taken away from the other ways that women not only can orgasm, but experience pleasure. So I would consider it a pleasure pocket. Another reason why I would consider it a pleasure pocket is because there are other things when you go in there that feel good. I mean, whether it's the G-spot moving a little bit to the left, to the right, to the front or back, sometimes it just feels good. Like, I don't know. I would assume that I could ask some women if it just feels good going in sometimes, or if it just feels good to be in there, whether it's the connection from an emotional perspective or physical perspective, sometimes it just feels good to feel it in there. And but you don't need to touch the G-spot to feel it and to enjoy it and for it to feel good. So I would actually consider the G-spot to be a pleasure pocket.
I think that was your favorite definition so far.
Yeah, I love it. I also, I love anything with the word pocket in it.
I love pants. I love dresses with pockets in any torso.
Okay, who doesn't love dresses with pockets?
I'm totally here for that. Yeah, I agree with
you. Okay, me too. One time I bought a dress. Sidebar, everybody. Sorry. But I bought a dress, and when it had pockets, I was like, oh, and it has pockets. Mm. Like, you know, it's 10 times better. You don't care if it had pockets or not. The dress was really cute. But when it gets pockets or when it has pockets, you're like,
things are only going up from things here. Now, like, you can go out without a jacket. You can go do more stuff.
Without a jacket?
Yeah, because it's a jacket, you need pockets.
I was like, you're not keeping your arms warm in those pockets.
No, you can do so much more. You're wearing them wrong.
We should talk about this later.
We should do an episode about pockets. We should talk self-check, friend check on how you're
Pause
wearing
this.
Your
Let's
pockets.
Put a pin in it. We will check in.
Oh, my God. Leave me alone.
I love that definition.
And I'm going to speak.
Okay, sorry.
So with the G-spot, everyone is saying, you know, I've heard multiple times it's about 2 inches. It's up and curved. And I would just, is it super accessible for solo play as well? Because I feel like that itself could be kind of a Cirque du Soleil gesture to like curve around and up. And like, could I be looking for the G-spot masturbating?
Yeah, absolutely. What I find is that it's easier with the 2 middle fingers to do it because you can longer actually fold the sides. So like if you turn it like this, like towards yourself, it's easier. The whole thing looks like this at that point. You're kind of like, it looks a little claw-y, but you know how much pressure to apply so it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. So the 2 middle fingers, I find it be easier. Maybe it's also because they're the 2 longer fingers. Mm-hmm. But if your hands are not enough, then you're more than welcome to explore different toys.
Right.
Toys make it a lot easier. And I will say that shout out to Femtech. Okay, because they are killing it right now. Like, they are creating toys that are extremely user-friendly for, like, both partners, which I think is great, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you want to explore, like, a toy, you can get something, you know, something small. You know, you don't have to go, you know, crazy, get anything too big or anything, especially, you know, if you're new to playing with toys. And you could just get something small. Just make sure it has that curve on it. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier. Not that you can't do it with something that doesn't curve. It's just that a nice small curve makes it easier to find the G-spot.
Okay. What about like positioning?
Oh, yeah.
Like positioning your body.
For squirting or for G-spot?
For both, I guess. Yeah. For both solo and partner. And then like in the context
throw
of
her 14
all of them.
Questions.
Yeah.
Just but let's talk positioning. I have one good answer for all of them.
Okay.
Love this. See,
I knew what I was doing.
Sorry.
There is an overrated position or underrated position, I say. Missionary is highly underrated.
Okay. See, that's what I've been saying for years. Laying on my back is so underrated.
It is so underrated. Who doesn't want to be a pillow princess?
I do.
Just lay there.
Please go on.
So the reason why I say missionary is underrated is because there's a lot of things you can do with missionary to get really creative. So if you have a partner and you and your partner want to get creative with whether it's hand play, whether it's penis, whether it's toys, you guys can still do missionary because what it does is it allows you to not only like look at each other and, you know, touch each other. There's more accessibility to the body in that position. You can also tilt your bottom half up with like a pillow or a sex pillow. And that makes it so your body is perfectly angled for it to be easier to find the G-spot. And it's a really good position to squirt in, especially if you're just now getting started with toys or finding the G-spot or trying to explore squirting. Missionary is such a great position, woman on back. But whether you're alone or with a partner, I would encourage doing, if you're like, look, my pillow's not coming in soon enough. You know, this delivery is taking an extra 3 days, but I'm just in the mood. I'm ready to kind of like go there. Put a couple of pillows under the small of your back. So you want to make sure your hip bone is at an angle like this.
Okay.
So as long as your hip bone is higher than your chest, you're fine.
Okay. Okay. And that's to help hit the front part, that whole area.
Yeah. And then another really cool tip is if you're already in that position, you can also kind of push on your lower stomach area, the area right above, you know, where your pubic hair starts. Just push down on that a little bit. Adjust your pressure as needed. You don't need to apply too much pressure. But if you push down on that, it actually kind of pushes down the G-spot. And then you can tap it a little bit more. It's fun.
That's smart. Okay.
Life hack.
Life hacks. So I have kind of a weird question. I like masturbating when I'm yelling this in your house, when like I kind of have to go to the bathroom. Does that make sense? No, like pee, you ass.
I just wanted you to clarify.
God, I hate you. When I kind of have to pee, and is that just because it just feels more full and it kind of makes it more sensitive? And is that help with the G-spot? But then would that mean that I'd have more pee if I was squirting? I don't know. These are all questions that just came to my head.
Yeah. So you might be more likely to squirt if your body is full of fluids, just because you actually have the fluids to do so. So stay hydrated, ladies that want to squirt. Yeah. Also, like, right, perfect timing. Right?
Yeah. I got plans.
What are you trying to do?
I got big plans tonight.
I'm applying this knowledge immediately.
Immediately.
I would also say that because when the bladder is full, there's like a pressure sitting in the lower area. You're almost applying a little bit more weight to the G-spot area. So you're probably a little bit more aroused just because it's already like being stimulated. It's like, oh, okay, got a little pressure down there, you know? Okay. And I think that more women probably do experience just a little bit of like a feel good sensation down there right before they're going to go pee or when they have a full bladder. We just don't talk about it much, but
yeah, okay,
I can second that.
I'm really glad that you asked that. I know. Thanks. I made a joke out of it, but I will say that I had a doctor tell me like, okay, make sure you pee before and after sex. Mm-hmm. But I usually just like to pee after sex. So I like to save it up so I don't get a UTI. Yeah. But I have noticed that when I do have like more in me, the sex is better and I do enjoy it more. Yeah. So I'm really, I never would have put those things together.
Okay.
So you're saving the world.
Thanks.
You are saving the world. Well, you're saving vaginas and orgasms and clitorises and G-spots.
So hold your pee, babies.
Hold your pee, babies. Well, I'm so happy that you put like the science knowledge behind that, because I've always thought I was kind of funky for like thinking that and being like, if I knew I was going to have sex and I knew I had to pee, I'm like, well, I'll hold that all because I feel like it's going to make me feel more sensitive and kind of make this process more enjoyable. And then after, I really have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But in general, I just feel more sensitive and I didn't want to be alone. So thank you both.
Even though the reasoning for peeing beforehand is totally understandable and it is healthier to do so. Sometimes we just have to sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
A little pleasure for a little more health, which is understandable.
I pick my battles
where I can.
I'll have a smoothie for breakfast and then I'll hold my pee before sex.
There we go. Balance. So we mentioned earlier too about clean up. And so I kind of want to know, what is it that we're cleaning up? Like, what is the texture and what is it that's coming out? You know, like, is it the texture of how like cum feels, or is it the texture and like the
watery
like pee, since it has more bodily fluids? Like, how much is going everywhere, or is it more just, you know, in one spot?
Ooh, I love this question. Some people can ejaculate and squirt at the same time, meaning they'll have ejaculation, which is the thicker substance of bodily fluid. And that can range from like a white to a creamy color to an almost clearish color. It's really similar to the male to sperm. But also for squirting, it is a more liquid, clearish urine look to it, if you will. And it can vary. You mentioned amount. you know, some people can, you know, hear, other people might, you know, full water bottle. Like, it just varies from woman to woman. And not only does it vary from person to person, it also varies from sexual experience or sexual encounter. So you might squirt on Monday and it was a lot, and then you squirt on, you know, Friday and it wasn't as much. And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you squirted a lot on Monday. It's just that with each sexual experience or with each splash release, it could just vary in amount. And sometimes, depending on how hydrated you are, that can play a huge part in it. So, I mean, if you want to play with the amount, you just want to have fun with seeing how much you can
get. That's when I really fill up my bladder before to play with
drink
that.
A lot of water. Drink a lot of water all day, too.
Yeah.
Don't just let it be a, you know, before your partner comes over or before you start to explore. Like, just stay hydrated overall in general. Mm-hmm. We're happier when we're hydrated, and we have higher chances of squirting when we're,
Here's another question then. Because we've talked about, like, how toys and fingers could, like, make you squirt. But, like, if you have a penis inside of you, like, how could you encourage squirting if you're having, like, penis vaginal
feels like
sex?
Backflow.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of questions with that. Like, how do you do something special with the penis? And then we'll start with that.
Okay. So to start off easy, That pillow is going to be the guide to splashing with a partner. So the reason why is, again, because you're at an angle, it makes it easier for when he's entering to massage that area. It's just, it's like a nice massage as it goes in and out. And so that pillow is going to be ideal for when having a partner. Not only that, all penises are not the same. So some of them actually have nice little curves, and, you know, it might curve down or, you know, to the right or to the left. So wherever your G-spot feels the most stimulation, adjust yourself to a position where his curve will hit that spot. It makes a huge difference. I mean, if yours is angled a little bit more towards the right and his, you know, curve goes to the right, I mean, you guys are good. I mean, and if for whatever reason his goes to the left and you're on the right, just alter that position where his curve goes to your G spot, and it'll make it a lot easier. Also, a lot of foreplay and a lot of stimulation before penetration. This is why I say that, because we don't have to leave it up to the penis alone. And I really want to encourage partners to start practicing with fingers, because fingering is a lost art. I know that I've heard a lot of people say they don't like it, but I think they don't like it because it doesn't feel good. But realistically, we think about sex, we're okay with bringing a toy into the bedroom, but we're not okay with using our hands in all facets. It's just like, you know, be willing to explore what that looks like. And I definitely think that people should start encouraging, you know, mastering the art of fingering. It's a beautiful thing. And it's definitely, it's probably, in my opinion, the easiest way to explore the splash. So
that makes so much sense. Yeah. What came to mind was this vivid memory of when I was in high school, and my boyfriend at the time, the sex position that he was like, we have to do this, was my legs over his shoulders.
Acrobat.
And, like, on my back. It was very acrobatic. He's like, and this is going to be great because it's going to, like, straight hit your G-spot. I can tell you, if that was my G-spot, I am not interested. So I don't think it was. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeesh.
So that's what I've always thought of as, like, G-spot and squirting, was, like, that position. And I was like, well, not for me.
Not for you.
I'm really grateful for this.
And it can be adjusted, because for some women, they might not need a lift up as high. Some women may need, you know, to be lifted a little higher. And some women may need to be turned around from the back position.
Okay.
Or from the side. That's also a really good one. Something that a lot of people don't do and don't regularly practice is, like, tantric and Kama Sutra. And in both practices, what you find is you find a lot of positions where the men and women are really close. And as you experience and explore with a partner, a male holder, or a penis holder, what you find is that closeness creates the massage, and it gives the pressure. And so it gives the pressure without exerting a lot of energy, mm-hmm. if you will.
Without the jamming.
So you get to be close. Yeah. You're not jamming and ramming. Instead, you're massaging and you're intimate and you're a lot closer. And that's a really fun way to play around with the G-spot as well.
So you also mentioned earlier, and I think I just want to clarify because I am still a dum-dum. So squirting isn't necessarily the peak of pleasure, right? And what does it actually feel like when it happens? Like, is it an orgasm? Is it just a really exciting like blip in the middle, or what is that feeling? And can you like keep going after and get an orgasm after squirting?
Yeah. So it depends on the woman. And that's the really cool thing is that not only does it depend on the woman, it's again, like case by case with your own body and each sexual experience. So you can orgasm and squirt at the same time. You can ejaculate and squirt at the same time, or you can just squirt on its own. For some women, yes, they can continue afterwards. For some women, maybe not. And that can vary. So maybe on Monday you wanted to keep going after releasing a ton. And then on Friday, you're just like, like that was it for me. So it can be the peak of pleasure. Not that it's not that it could not be for some people, but it's not going to be that for every woman. And it's not going to be that for every sexual experience. So I'll get personal. So for me, sometimes I just want a clitoral orgasm, or sometimes I just want to ejaculate. And other times I'm like, I think I want a clitoral orgasm first, and then I want to squirt, and then I want to relax, and then I want to come back, and then I want to orgasm. So it's like, you might want different things depending on how much you've explored and depending on how much, you're connected to the different orgasms that you experience. And every now and again, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, like, is it a mental thing for women? Is it a physical thing? Mm-hmm. Every now and again, your body might go, I just want to release. Like, I don't know what it is, but my body is telling me something that maybe my mind is not. And we need to release. But it's also, your body gets all the natural feel goods when you have sex and when you orgasm. It gives you the adrenaline, the dopamine, the oxytocin. Like, it gives you all the feel good drugs. So, of course your body's going to want that feeling. So, it just depends on how your body wants to get that feeling. Does your body want the good drugs from an orgasm, from squirting, or from ejaculation?
We're so powerful. Like, we just can do so fucking much, and I love it. It makes me so excited to try things. Two questions came up for me. I'm sorry. I'll let you talk if you have questions. Is it something, if you're first starting out squirting in your one of your first couple experiences, is it something you kind of have to breathe past, like that feeling of needing to pee? Because I've heard that multiple times too, where you kind of have to like breathe through that and just relax into it, and then it can kind of flow. Is that what it feels like before it happens?
Absolutely. Especially when it's something new, you're just like, wait, hold on, like what, like wait, hang on, what is this? And sometimes, not all the times, but when you're doing it, if you have a partner and you tell them to stop, you're like, stop, you could lose it. But sometimes you don't, and it just continues to build up. But that whole like wanting your partner to stop and trying to figure out what's going on, and you're like, do I have to pee? Like, what's going on? It's like, yes, you do. You have to breathe through it, and you have to relax. That's a key thing. And I think that whether you're going to squirt or orgasm or ejaculate or just enjoy the experience for pleasure, relaxing is key to enjoying, intimacy, physical intimacy with a partner or solo.
That makes a ton of sense. And then my second question was, once you start squirting, or like you've kind of figured out what makes you squirt, is it easier to get yourself there eventually? Like, now I know exactly how to make myself orgasm if I'm masturbating. Is that kind of the same process with squirting?
I think that for some women, yes, but not for all women. I think that their bodies can just be telling them different things. So, for example, if I'm just really, really, really horny, and I just want to masturbate to feel good and to release, and I don't care about what the release is going to be, it can be an orgasm, ejaculation, or squirting. If I haven't been hydrated, I'm not going to really count on my body to do that. Not even if I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm just not going to put that kind of pressure on myself knowing that I haven't even hydrated. You know, right. You have those days you're just like, ah.
I'm not bringing my water bottle today. Yeah, I have not had a drop of water today.
Yeah. You see the water and you see the toy and you're just like, toy it is. Toy it is. You know, so there shouldn't be an expectation for women to feel like once you start squirting, you have to squirt all the time. But some women, you know, some women are good. They know how to do a lot of stuff. And it's amazing, you know, when women tell their stories about not needing to be touched or penetrated to orgasm. It's such a beautiful thing. And that is something that I want every woman to experience, to orgasm without being touched. That's a big one for me.
I think that sounds like magic.
Sounds great.
In the best way. I think that is the definition of magic.
Sounds ideal.
I have reason to believe that we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Absolutely. Oh, so I guess one clarification for me, like, is it possible to squirt from like clitoral stimulation alone? Mm. Or does it really need to be like that G-spot stimulation / activation?
No, so it is definitely possible to squirt from clitoral stimulation. And some professionals think that it's more likely for women who want to try to squirt to try to do it through external pleasure by clitoral stimulation. So if a woman, you know, knows that her body experiences a peak of pleasure through the clitoris, then she probably should try to allow herself to explore what squirting could be like through that specific stimulation. But if she does know that she likes penetration, because some women are just like, you know, I like penetration, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. Then I would encourage her to explore the G-spot. But it varies from woman to woman. And that's why I'm just going to drop that in there. If there are any guys listening that like to have sex with women, please do not assume that we are all the same. Mm. There, you cannot assume that all women are the same. Every orgasm is going to be different. How you get there is going to be different. She might not like what your last partner liked. So it's really important to communicate and figure out, like, does she like, you know, clitoral stimulation? Is that the way you're going to explore her different orgasms, or does she like penetration? And what does that look like for both of you as partners? So I had to sprinkle that in there because I need the partners to know. And we need to this pleasure gap. We need to just
really tighten that shit up. Yeah.
Tighten it up. We're going to tighten it up just as much as they want the vagina to be tight. We're going to go there. We're going to go there.
And I love how much you've brought up how different it is for each woman or each mm-hmm. vulva owner, because that's so important to be like, you can do or attempt whatever you want to do. This isn't mm-hmm. like within limits. There's no boundaries around mm-hmm. your pleasure. So just fucking try whatever mm-hmm. you want to try if that's something that interests you. And I love how much you've brought that up within our questions and your work. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, I tried to really encourage women, because I think that what happens, and I try to encourage men as well, but I think what happens is like we get so fixated in these boxes, like, this is how I have to do it, and this is how my body is supposed to work. And it does us a disservice, because mm-hmm. then we limit ourselves in the way that we explore, in the way that we explore sexualities in our own bodies. And it's unfortunate, you know, because I was taking a class on erectile dysfunction. And for penis owners, you know, that box is really small. I mean, it's just like I'm going to do this, I'm going to conquer. And it's like, what about the pleasure? Like, you know, it's just like, amen. They have this goal and they feel mm-hmm. inadequate if they don't meet the goal, but they forget about the journey. So I think a lot of what I've seen in the spaces that I'm in is us really encouraging pleasure and just enjoying the experience, enjoying your body, enjoying your partner's body, and just seeing what you can do with it. I mean, I want to count more. Like, I mean, 14 orgasms sounds great, but I mean, with the way vaginas are working and everyone's telling me to, you know, I'm learning more every mm-hmm. day, and even having the doctor talk about the G-spot being able to shift, I was like, thank you. I was like, now I don't feel so, you know, out of it for thinking that that was a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful journey of knowing that every woman is different. Every vulva owner is different. So
I want to talk a little bit about the partner of the person squirting, because I have so many questions. My first one is, if you have something inside of you, be it a penis or if you're with a partner and there's like, you know,
a toy,
if there's something like bigger inside of you and you squirt, does it like get backed up? Like that just sounds like a lot inside of you. Like how does that happen?
How do you warn or talk about it?
So in my experience, I do actually have to have my partner slowly come out to let me finish releasing. But I will say this. It's kind of like when you're trying to like, if you guys have ever seen like in the movies, and I want to think of one, but I just know we've all seen one where they're trying to like stop a leak.
Yeah.
That's what it's like to have a penis or a toy in there when you are trying to squirt.
That's
it's
exactly
like
what I was
trying
picturing.
To stop a leak. Yeah, but it's gonna, but it kind of goes mm-hmm.
yeah. right into the eye.
Right in the eye. But it's better to slowly pull out to allow it to release and flow, because it actually, for me personally, is a little uncomfortable. Like, don't stop the flow. Like, don't stop the flow. Let it flow.
Absolutely. Okay?
If I could take a deep breath and let it flow, don't stop the flow.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense, just biologically and in every way.
Yeah.
So Emma said, don't get it in the eye. If you do get it in your eye, does it burn?
I'm very happy that no one has come to me about that yet. And I can't say if it hurts or not, because I've not personally had any bodily fluids in my eye, and I'm terrified. I will be honest. I'm actually terrified to have any bodily fluids in my eye. I'm like, oh my God, my poor little eye. Like,
they didn't sign up for this.
They have nothing to do with this.
So yeah, I would encourage people to just try not to get in their eyes. But if you do, obviously, you know, rinse it out, make sure you get it out completely. And if need be, definitely go to a doctor just to make sure things are okay, because no one wants pink eye. And then people are like, your eye's pink. What's going on?
It was the splash.
Blinded by a pussy.
I got the splash.
I got the splash eye.
Sounds kind of like an STD.
Sounds like scurvy.
Or scurvy. Yeah. We're on two different pages.
This is a lot.
Well, on that same note, is it possible? This is a two-part question. The first part, if somebody is going down on you, and like, can you squirt from that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think that it takes someone very talented and skilled.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people who master oral, and who have probably even mastered their body. And that would be for the women who have, you know, that pleasure and that desire to squirt from the clitoral stimulation. Mm-hmm. So again, it might be a woman that's like, I just know that's where all my pleasure comes from. I know that that's what gets me there. It is the clitoris. And your partner's like, all right, got you. I'm experienced. I got this. And they handle it. They take care of it. It's really a really beautiful thing.
Really is. That brings up a different second part to that question, which I'm fine with and I'm happy with. Because we've been talking about, like, you know, you can from clitoral stimulation, but it's like that's usually how I masturbate, is like clitoral stimulation. But I've never felt like even close to squirting or anything like that. So is there something that's like not working, or like what is the step that I need to take to like turn it in that direction? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So one thing you can do is you can kind of like lift the skin back a little bit.
Okay.
And start to play with what that feels like. And it doesn't need a lot of pressure, because these are nerves we're talking about. You know, the clitoris holds so many nerves. So if you just pull that skin back just a little bit and then lightly start to massage it, see what that feels like. And please let me know.
Okay.
Because that was the trick that when I discovered, I was like,
skin.
That gives me the same squirting sensation as the penetration. I was like, okay, there we go.
Okay.
That's the spot.
I'm so glad that I asked that, because I thought maybe I was just like not. Okay, I'm so happy.
Here, my notes say, pull skin back, let Shay know.
Set a reminder in your phone.
Okay, great.
Well, the actual second part of that question that I originally had thought of. So if somebody's going down on you and you squirt, like, should you give them a lot of forewarning? Like, be like, back up, because or is it okay to get in their mouth? Like,
so I'll be
I wouldn't
honest,
say it that way.
That is a conversation you should have way before your partner goes down on you. And the reason why is because some people don't like that. Some people do not like it. And I think that reciprocity has to be a really big thing in sex. And I mean, we've heard women say it for years, like, you know, don't come in my mouth or don't come on my face. Like, or, you know, women are like, no, like, turn around, run to the corner. I don't want this guy near me.
To the corner. To the corner. To the corner. Your cum corner. Go to your,
there's just a bucket.
So I think that that's something that should be talked about way beforehand. Like, if you are a squirter, and again, let them know, like, no pressure. I'm not, you know, requiring, you know, to squirt. I would like to orgasm to some capacity, be that ejaculation, orgasm, or squirting. But I want to forewarn you that I'm a squirter. So if for any reason I mess up sheets, face, t-shirts, beards, because we love a beard.
I love a beard.
I apologize in advance. Is that okay with you? You know?
I don't want to be responsible for any property damages.
Absolutely not.
How should you respond if someone thinks that it's gross?
That is a tough one.
Because, I mean, everyone's allowed to have their preference, and I guess I get that. But also, if it's something natural, I don't want to feel like ashamed of the fact that my body naturally does something.
Yeah. And I think that the response is up to you. I think that it has more to do with how comfortable you are with accepting that this is your partner's yuck. Because again, like I said, even though it's natural for men to ejaculate, there are some women that are just like, yep, nope, don't want to see it. Don't want to touch it. So it depends on, you know, the woman. If you feel like, hey, look, I can squirt and my partner does not like it, that doesn't work for me, then, you know, that's a conversation you have to have with yourself. Do you want to continue a sexual relationship with this person, or are you looking to, you know, explore what that looks like outside of your partner?
That's fair. Yeah. It's like when you switched it around in like the, you know, I don't want a guy to come in my mouth. It's like, oh, that gives me a perspective I should have had on it that I wasn't thinking of it as. So
you mean,
I appreciate that.
What were you thinking? Like, they should all
like
be
it's
okay
my
with
body,
it.
So you right. should be okay with it.
I feel like if it was my perfect world and I could design everyone's reaction, it should be like, I'm totally fine with it. I just have a preference of where you do it. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. But also, I agree 100%.
Yeah. So I feel like that's totally fair.
Yeah, because if it's a water bottle full, I feel like breathing would be,
you know,
an
it'd
issue
be hard
at that point.
Because then you're just like sticking your face in a fountain.
Yeah, which I mean could be refreshing.
Which could be what people want, but if you don't, then just let me know.
That's a face wash.
You'd be surprised. Squirt can definitely do some things, and the amounts are real. Like, though they may be exaggerated on porn, the amounts can definitely be up there.
You mentioned too, when we talked about it in porn, that you can fake it, or they fake it often in porn. What does that entail? Like a,
I have one theory. I think that they might put water in there. I've actually seen a girl shoot beer out of her vagina after like swallowing it.
Oh, talking about party tricks.
Party trick.
That's a party trick.
That's there a party trick.
So I think that, yeah, they're just taking a water bottle, putting water up there. They have her hold it for a bit, and then she just kind of.
Gotcha. Interesting. Now I want to do research. Stare. Is that a water or is that real?
Is that water? I did see one, I think it was kind of like a behind the scenes type Netflix documentary, and they told, it was like a girl who was new to porn, and they told her that it was pee. And so they told her to pee.
They do sometimes do that as well.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like water. I think that feels like a,
feels better.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do what they have to do for the money shot, unfortunately. I really wish it wasn't like that. But, you know, it's an industry. It makes a lot of money and it has a lot of consumers. So,
yeah,
you know, changing that lens is going to take a lot of work from everyone, from, you know, educators like myself, therapists, from content creators like yourself, just having these conversations and letting the public know, like, hey, you know, it's okay if this is not what you're experiencing in your bedroom because it's not real. You know, we don't need to create these insecurities for no reason. We have enough to worry about. That's seriously, just shit. It's like, really shouldn't be one of them. So
we have real shit to worry about besides fucking bodily fluids, whatever. And literally every topic we've approached that I've initially had like hesitations about, just in terms of like, how comfortable am I saying this? My mindset has shifted 180 degrees every single time because you get educated about it, you normalize it, you talk about how maybe you're already doing it anyways, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just the more conversations we have about this, the more people like you that open up the space for it, I think that's just creating such beautiful, pleasurable world. Mm-hmm. And that makes 100%. Me so happy.
Yeah, we talk about it on social media. I feel like we see those social media of like, this is what I post, but this is what I actually look like. And like, we need to be doing that with porn, which is what we're doing right now. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, that's what we're seeing. But it's so taboo to even like talk about porn or to talk about like watching porn. I feel like specifically as women, you know what I mean? It's just like this other, there's so many complicated layers to it. And so it's so important to have these conversations of like, you're seeing that and I know you don't want to talk about it, but it's not real. So here's what is real, whether or not you want to try and squirt or whether you're going to apply literally anything from this episode to your life, at least now when you see it sometime in the future or you hear about it, like, you know the true context of it.
Yeah.
100%.
I couldn't agree more, especially with the part, you know, talking about women not having these conversations and women not, you know, talking about certain things because it's so like taboo and it's like you're afraid. But you know, I've really had to like step out, and I mean, even you guys, right? Like we've all had to like step over that. I'm a woman, like, can I really talk about this? And we're just like, you know what? Yeah, we can and we should, because we're participants. Like, why would I participate in something that I can't talk about? I think that's really weird. I think that's just when I approach it like that, people are like, I think it makes them mad because in their mind, they really want to be able to say like, you're a woman. This is not a lady thing. Like, and I'm like, well, you have sex, don't you? Like, don't we all have sex? You know, so why wouldn't we be able to talk about something that we all partake in? And I think that a lens like that helps to destigmatize a lot of things. I think that, so we're not shaming people and we're not feeling shamed ourselves for doing something. We do this. This is what people do. So I think, I mean, we talk about work, okay? The thing, some people don't even like their job, but here we go talking about something we don't even like.
Yes. Yeah. That's an amazing like one-liner to say to like any sort of conversation that starts to feel really shameful. It's like, why wouldn't I talk about shit that I do? Like that I participate in. That's so good. And I'm going to say bye, Shay, after I say that. That's so perfect. If you had to leave us with anything, do you have any last thing that we didn't cover that you would love to like throw into this episode about squirting or our bodies or whatever?
Women.
Women.
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, I always say like health and consent are like the priorities in the spaces that I occupy. I definitely want people to understand that like you can see my Instagram, you can see the topics that I talk about or the polls that I, you know, put on my stories, but really step into the space and step into our rooms because we really try to provide, you know, not only entertaining and exciting conversation, but we really try to educate people on, you know, health and consent. That's a really big one for us. My team right now, they hosted a room. I couldn't be there, but it was on consent. And that's something we want to continue to have a conversation about. We all unanimously agreed that one conversation around consent just wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. So we might just like, you know, make it an ongoing conversation because there's just so much to unpack. But again, like I said, just knowing that that consent, that agency, that safety, that health is all a part of the conversation when we talk about sex. I just think that's something that people should, you know, keep in the forefront of their minds.
Absolutely.
Could not agree more. So where can our listeners continue to connect with you? Because they're going to absolutely want to.
100%.
For anyone that's on Twitter, you guys can find me at Talk Sex with Shay. My Clubhouse is going to be the same name, Talk Sex with Shay. You guys can find me on YouTube at Shay Daily. That's S-H-A-E-D-A-I-L-Y. And if you guys are on Instagram, you can find me at Shay is Love. That's S-H-A-E-I-S-L-O-V-E.
Perfect. And we'll have all of that linked in the show notes. Oh, thank you so much.
This is so much fun.
We have now designated a cum corner in the honey hole, so you are welcome to use it anytime that you like. Just text us beforehand so we can clear the room.
Clear the room. It's behind Cass's chair. You made the joke that it's going to be behind my chair, but now since I said it first, I can say it's behind your chair.
We had to re-record this. So Emma stole.
So the cum corner's behind Cass's chair. Everyone go use Cass's chair. Anyway.
Come on my chair.
Gross. Thank you, Shay, for putting up with us for an hour. You are a true angel for being on the podcast. And thank you to our fans. Why did that come out so naturally?
Thank you to our fans everywhere.
You probably don't even like us. Thank you so much to our listeners for being here.
And if you're a true fan, head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. We love your reviews so much. And if this is the episode that's going to get you to leave a review, go ahead and leave those little water droplet emojis.
Yeah.
So we know that this is what got you there. Squirting. We squirted you all the way to Apple Podcasts, honey.
This is so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. We'll see you next week.